So good to be here with you this morning. I hope that as we're singing these songs, and Otis, thank you so much for the powerful, powerful worship. I don't know if you noticed how Otis was working those in, but as we're singing those songs, we're offering up prayers to God, aren't we? Think of the song that we just sang, crying out to God, offering this song that is really a prayer from God's people. Lord, I give you my heart. Today we are continuing our series on renewal, and we are talking about opening our heart to God in prayer. I remember several years ago whenever we were ministering in Waco, Texas, we had a youth-led service night, one of those nights on a Wednesday night, and a young man got up there, and it was he was going to lead the prayer. And I know that he had prepared, but he got up there, and in the midst of the moment, he froze, and all he could say was, "Aw, dang it." he had one of those moments, right? I mean, it was planned, it was prepared, he was ready, he had rehearsed it, and then something about standing in this spot, in the spotlight, or something about the fear of approaching, not just approaching God in prayer, but in the community worship when we're gathered together, of messing up or not doing it right. And so often we do find ourselves treating prayer sometimes, did you grow up or did you have an idea or some of us, whenever we were learning how to lead prayers in front of others and Bible class or whatever the setting might be, and you tried to listen. Maybe you took notes. I don't have a pen with me, but maybe you took notes whenever you were around other people when they were praying out loud, and you're like, "Oh, that's a good one. I like that one there," right? And you tried to approach prayer like a math problem or an equation. Maybe you even think about it that way in your own personal life. If I give God the right formula, you know, if I say the right words, if I put it and structure it together in the right order, maybe God will hear this prayer. Maybe He'll be more likely to attend to what I'm asking Him for. If we're offering a prayer of supplication, maybe if I do it right. How many of us have felt that way at different times when it comes to prayer? I fear not doing my prayers right. Come back to this great text from Romans chapter 12 that has been really our launch point for the series on renewal. Romans 12, this idea of bringing your life to God. This is the worship that God wants, and this is the prayer that God wants. Listen to this again. "Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship." This is also your true and proper prayer, isn't it? That when we come to God, when we gather, whether we're gathering in the community or whether you are having your own personal quiet time with God, you're kneeling before God in prayer, or you're bringing yourself before God, and sometimes we hold back with fear of God rejecting our prayer, or with fear of God not wanting us, and we're ignoring this beautiful Christian call and this claim that God wants all Christians to lay hold of, and that is this: God wants your entire life to be offered to Him. Not just your lips. God doesn't want lip service in prayer. You ever thought about prayer that way? Okay, what do you want to hear, God? Okay, yeah. Like your kids do sometimes. "Tell me about what you did today, son," right? They'll answer. We kind of sometimes maybe we choose what we might leave out. But the Christian call here of renewal is one of bringing your whole life to God. Isn't that what God wants? Isn't that His desire in prayer? You know what makes prayer such a struggle, though? There's a few things. I want to highlight just a few things this morning. Paul points to this. I love the book of Romans, and there's a lot of prayer throughout the book of Romans. There's even a recorded prayer just prior to Romans 12. At the end of chapter 11, Paul writes down a prayer to the church, talking about the mercies of God, the depths of His love that are far beyond anything we can fathom. He writes down a prayer to the church. And then he makes this statement here in Romans 12. Earlier in Romans chapter 8, and Colin just read this for us just a moment ago, but I want to highlight specifically, notice in verse 24 here, when he talks, there's a little bit of a tension that he starts to describe here in the Christian faith, because there's things that God has promised, and there's expectations that you have in your life, there's expectations that you have in prayer, and you haven't seen the fruition of it yet. You believe in God's salvation. You believe that God is at work. You believe in His kingdom and God's will and His purpose. But sometimes you struggle and you go, but I'm just not seeing it. Where is it? Someone's going through crisis and you have these words where Paul talks about, oh, how does hope work in the midst of the suffering or the struggles or the crisis or the mystery or the confusion? For in this hope we were saved. But hope that is seen is no hope at all. That's a very profound statement. It's pointing us to something greater. The substance of faith. Notice verse 25 here. Or who hopes for what they already have? But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently. You want to know one of the reasons why prayer is such a struggle? Because much of prayer is waiting on the Lord. This is also why prayer is at the very foundation of how you do the Christian life. Because you don't do. Prayer is not about you doing anything, is it? Prayer is about you stepping back, letting go. You know, I want control of my life. I want control of my destiny. I even want control of my faith life, meaning this is, I want to hold on to it and say, God, this is what I want you to do. As if our prayer life was just a transaction. Here's what I want, you, and then you give it to me, right? Or sometimes as if prayer was some kind of contract. I'll go to church, I'll listen to the sermon, right? Oh, that's your duty, right? I'll go to church, I'll read my Bible every day, I'll offer prayers to you, and you fulfill your end of the bargain, God. We have a contract here. I'll do this list of things, these works, and you'll give me what I want. Paul doesn't describe prayer that way at all. And this really is so much, because we live in an instant messaging society, instant gratification way of life. We thought that the big struggle of 2017 was waiting for the construction to be done on the highway, right? In the city of Abilene. God, I have been so patient at the traffic light. I didn't even wave my fist and yell today, okay? Slowing down. Waiting on the Lord. I've shared the story before that my mother, from the time she was a child, prayed for her family, for her parents to become believers. I don't even know how a child does that, but she knew that that was a desire. In a non-Christian household, she had this desire that her parents would know Jesus. It wasn't until I was grown and had children of my own that my grandfather called me one night after a Wednesday night service when he had gone down front and put on the Lord Jesus Christ in baptism. She had been waiting in prayer for that moment for 50 years. That's difficult. Waiting on the Lord. And then the other part of the struggle, as we go on in the text here, I'll come back to 26 in just a minute, but we have this intercession that God is working in things. Notice the last verse, or verse 28, go to the next slide here. Notice this in your Bibles in Romans 8, 28. Often quoted, often verse that we grab for it, different things, but we don't always underline the last part. It's not a question of whether or not God is working in your life or in your prayer life. It's not a question of whether or not God cares about you or loves you. So much of the question is whether or not what my desire and what my purpose, my will, is not necessarily, it's not always what God wants. So on the one hand, the struggle is waiting for God to do what we believe God is going to do. On the other hand, the struggle becomes even more challenging because sometimes we're waiting on something that God has no plan to do, which is very difficult. Which moves you back to this question about, well, why pray? And the response here is really beautiful. You know, hope is a big theme throughout Romans, and he talks about how Abraham waited in Romans 4:18. You'll notice Abraham, go ahead and go to the next slide there, against all hope, I love that. Against all hope, Abraham in hope believed and so became the father of many nations. Abraham, who could not have children, was not able to bear any children, and God called him a father. God called Abraham a father 25 years before it ever happened. He called him dad. You're going to be dad, father of many nations. Against all hope, he waited. Against all hope, he had to learn to trust God with the outcome. Waiting and trusting God with the outcome. But God does not leave us empty-handed and abandoned in that state of waiting and in that state also of the mystery that's going on here. Prayer is about a love relationship. It is a love relationship. Notice Romans 5 and verse 5. What is it that God gives us His Spirit for? And what's going on here in this gift and in this communion of God, Father, Son, and Spirit then being shared with us? I love this verse, Romans 5, 5. And hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. I don't have all the answers to the ins and outs of some of the specifics of every individual's life or my own life. What I do know is God's love is certain today for each and every single person. And it is manifest and shared and mutually expressed in this giving and sharing of love that never fails, that God has poured out onto the hearts of believers through the Holy Spirit. Let me tell you what you're going to need while you're waiting and while you're trusting God with the outcome. You're going to need His supernatural Spirit to abide with you in your days, in your desires, in your life with its ups and downs, with the chaos that happens and the disruptions and the unexpected things. You need a God who's going to remain steadfast through the midst of it, saying, I love you and I prove it. I prove it. So we do not deny that there's some mystery here. And when we go back to verse 26, we notice the language that's there. In prayer, there's some special Prayer is a divine experience. It is both human and divine for the believer when we pray, because heaven and earth is meeting, isn't it? And the Spirit is working through us while we pray. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. So we're waiting and we're trusting God. And depending on how difficult the circumstance is that you're going through, the best that you may be able to muster to God some days, on some of your days, is just a wordless coming before Him. Silence may be the best thing that you can offer sometimes. And that's okay. Do you see that, church? God not only approves that, He receives it and accepts it and understands. Even your silence given to God as you're offering your body as a living sacrifice, and what's going on in your life and your emotions that can be angry or upset or scared or struggling or doubting or any of those things, and you're able to bring them all before God and He wraps His arms around it. That He receives even the groans of His sons and His daughters. There's a great book on prayer by Philip Yancey, a Christian author, that he wrote some years ago called Prayer, What Difference Does It Make? Great book. But he has a line in there about as life changes, and I want because some of what hits us is when we're going... You hit that bump, and your need for renewal is because you're at a different stage of life than you were before. Or you're at a different circumstance, and you were able to have your prayer time, or you were able to have your devotion, and you were able to have your mind together before, but now this other thing has kind of got you off center. And he describes this well. He says, as life changes, my prayer practice will no doubt change with it. A person battling chronic illness will pray differently than a college student who mainly worries about final exams and a noisy roommate. Taking a mission trip, getting married, managing a house full of kids, giving care to an aging parent, every major life change will have its effect on prayer, both its practice and its content. The only fatal mistake is to stop praying and to not begin again. Paul put it this way in Romans 12 and verse 12, but it's the same sentiment. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. And so you have whatever you've been going through this week. You have those things, and it bumped your time with God. It bumped your mind in such a way that your thoughts and your heart have not been there. And God says, go ahead, come back again. Just don't stop. I'll give you just a few suggestions here. There may be some things that could help you finding your rhythm here in your prayer life. How do you find time or make time? Or when you're wanting to have, one of the best things that you can do to help jumpstart your heart and your mind in prayer is praying the Scriptures. The Bible is filled with prayers. Take the book of Psalms and pray some of those prayers. And I promise you, you will connect with some of the very same emotions and feelings and desires that are echoed from saints from long ago. That's why God's recorded that for us. praying the Lord's Prayer can be such a blessing in your life and help to make sure that our prayer lives are not too selfish. We have all the we statements that are within the Lord's Prayer. So much of prayer is about breathing. Take time to just breathe with God. Take time to breathe and remember that God loves you. Take time to breathe in God's love and breathe out those different fears and doubts. Maybe you're one of those that likes to be on the clock and you need to set actual fixed times that I'm setting a time, whatever it may be, a schedule so that I'm praying at these different parts. I'm going to stop what I'm doing. I'm going to have this fixed hour of prayer. I hope that everyone in here has somebody to pray with. Because as we've been talking about, reading the Bible or opening your life to God's Word, opening your life to prayer, and opening your life to community, all are interlocked. They happen together. They need to happen together. Not just personal devotion. Having someone to pray with. And then sometimes what we need is a change of location to pray. Do you have a place where you go? Maybe you have a chair. Maybe you have a prayer closet in your house. Maybe you need to get outside and be in nature. Maybe that's your prayer posture. Maybe you need to go on a prayer walk and walk and pray with God from your heart. I had a memory that I recollected and I shared again with Ray McLaughlin this morning. Their family's tradition, whenever it's time before they eat, they offer a prayer at every meal and they do it in song. Maybe that's your prayer posture, is to sing to God. Have you opened your heart to God? That's the setting of your prayer, your life. We're going to honor, in just a few moments, we're going to honor those who are a part of our new life blessing today. We've had several who were baptized this past year. Have you made that decision to surrender your life to Christ? To give Him your life and your heart and to say, Lord, I know that I am a sinner and I am trusting You with my life. To confess your sins. To confess Him as Lord, to be united with Him in baptism, start new life today. Or maybe the need is for new life for a brother or sister who's needing to start again, renewal. Maybe renewal is the need in your life today, whatever it is. Let's stand together, and if you have need, you can come right now and respond.